And begin the current daf, this tiny daf yet alpha. Begin three lines down from the top of the yamet. The Gemara continues a discussion related to what was mentioned in the previous daf. That is, we mentioned in passing regarding someone when he's on the road that he should eat the type of food that he would eat in the amounts of a hunger year, which the Gemara had two interpretations of why that is. Now the Gemara continues on that theme about why would it be that a person has to eat less during a hunger year. So I'm reviewing the Merab. It says, "Kol amarv atzmo b'shnei ru'avin." Whoever hungers himself, meaning to say he eats very little in the hunger year when there's not a lot of food, nitzel mimisa mishun, he's saved from a bizarre death, which means to say if he's killed either by the sword or by hunger. In other words, any death that doesn't come through the angel of death, like a regular person who dies on his bed, that's a person that is called a misa mishuna. So a person, if he hungers himself in the hunger year, he's saved from that type of a death. Shem, like it says, a pasuk in Eve, it says, Berav, with the hunger, padcha mimavis, he has redeemed you from death. Now, the question is, mirav mibayle. Should have said, from hunger. From hunger, Hashem has redeemed you from death. What's with hunger? Elahachim, rather, this is what the pasuk is saying. Bischar shemar v'atzma v'shnei ru'avin, in the reward that he has hungered himself in the hunger year, meaning when the Jewish people are in pain, he also goes and joins in that pain, nitzel mimisa mishuna, then he's saved, then what's the pasuk says, padcha mimavis, then he's saved from a bizarre death. Related, Amar Rish Lakish says, "Asa la'adam l'shamish mitasa b'shnei ru'avin." The person is not allowed to have marital relations during a hunger year because he also has to accustom himself in pain, just like the world's in pain. Shemak, it says, a pasuk in Bereishis says, "Il Yosef yulad shnei banim," that to Yosef was born two sons, "b'terem tavish nasrav," before the hunger years had come, because once the hunger years come, he didn't have marital relations. However, Tana, we learn in the Braisa that chasuchi banim, those that don't have children yet, that didn't fulfill yet the mitzvah per rivya, they are mishamshim mitisayin b'shnei rav, and they do have marital relations even the hunger year. Continuing on this theme, Tana, we learn the Braisa. B'zman sheYisrael shurin b'tzar, when the Jewish people are in pain, upirish echad mehem, but one of the persons separates from them and he's not joining in that pain, so boing shnei malachei hasharos shemalavin l'adam. So the two ministering angels that escort every single person, which one is on the right of the person, one's on the left of the person. As the pasuk says in Tilim Tzadi Aleph, ki malacha bitzavalach, Hashem has appointed his angels to command them to every single person. So there's two angels, one on the right, one left. So they come to this person who has separated himself from joining in the pain of the people. Umanichan lo yedein al reish avarim. They put their hands on his head and they say, Plainly zesh appears from that tzibah. This individual who has separated himself from the public, al yir b'necham tzibah, he will not see in the consolation of the public. So the fact that he's not joining in their pain, he also will not join in their rejoicing. Similarly, Tanya Dich, we learn another braisa. Bezman shat tzibah shor b'tzah, the time when the public is in pain, al yir ma'odim, a person shouldn't tell himself, Eilich lebesi v'eichel v'eshta, I'll go home, and I'll eat and I'll drink, v'shalom alecha nafshi, and to you, my soul, when he's talking to himself, he says, for you, it'll be okay. Now, the person should not do that. Vim Isakain, if the person does do that, Allah HaKasav, I mean, regarding him, does the pasuk say in Yeshaya, Vine sasin v'simcha, behold, there's rejoicing, there's happiness, harg bakar, he's killing cattle, v'shachet zayin, and slaughtering sheep, achal basa v'shasa yayin, eating meat and drinking wine, achal v'shasa, eat and drink, kimacha namas, because tomorrow we're going to die, let's eat and drink and be merry today, because tomorrow we're going to die. That's what the person is telling himself, although there is pain now in the world, but he's separating himself from that. Now, Maksib Asrei, what does it say after that? It says, V'nigla ba'azni Hashem Tzavakas, and this will be revealed to the ears, so to speak, of Hashem Tzavakas, Lord of Hosts. If you will ever be forgiven for this sin of being punished from the Tzar of the Tzibur until you die. Now, that's the punishment for someone that's not joining in the pain of the Tzibur. Now, Ad Kan Mid is Beninim. That's the medium type of a person that's not joining in the pain of the tzibur. But at least he's afraid of death, because as the pasuk says, he says, Ki macha namis, he says he knows he's going to die for this, but still, he's still separating from that. But regarding the wicked type of people, their measurement is even worse than that, because they're not even afraid, or at least they don't say they're afraid of death. As the pasuk says in Yeshaya, Esau you come, Echa yayin, will take wine, V'nisva sheichir, will get happy with intoxicating drinks, V'haya kezeh yeimacha, and the same thing will do tomorrow, and even greater will do tomorrow, which obviously is not saying we're going to die tomorrow, which that's the really wicked people. At least the Bainim who are separating, they know they're going to die for this, but the wicked say, oh, and tomorrow we'll have even a bigger party. Maksib Basri, what does it say afterwards? Hatzadik avad, the tzaddik, the righteous person, is lost. Ve'ein ish samalev, and nobody even stops to think about it. Why did the tzaddik die? And it's because of the wickedness that the tzaddik passes away. So either it means to say that the tzaddik should not have to bear that pain that's going to come because of the wicked people, or because it's going on the wicked people, because of their wickedness, that's why the tzaddik dies, because HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't want that the tzaddik should daven for them, and that's why he has the tzaddik pass away, and that's because of the Rishayim, who they're separating from the pain of the Jewish people, and moreover, they don't even care about, they're not even worried about the consequences. So rather, the Braisa continues, says, Eli Yitzar Adam Imatzibah, rather a person should pain himself together with the public, as we find by Moshe Rabbeinu, that he pained himself, although he didn't wasn't part of that, together with the tzibur. Shnem, like it says the pasuk in Shemayis, says v'day Moshe kvedim. It says the hands of Moshe were heavy. V'yikhu even v'yisimu tachta v'yishabla, and they took a stone and they placed it beneath him and he sat on it. Now the question is, didn't he have at least a pillow or a blanket, something to sit on? Why do you have to take a rock? This is what Moshe Rabbeinu was saying. They're here, they're fighting with Amalek. The Jewish people are in pain. I will also be with them in pain. I'm not going to sit on a pillow or blanket. I'm going to sit on a rock. And the Braisa tells us, whoever does pain himself with the people, he merits to see in the consolation of the Tzibur. Now, maybe a person is going to say, me maybe, who's going to say testimony about me that I didn't join with the pain? I'll go home, no one sees me, and I'll just do my thing. That the Braisa says, Avnei Beisah Shel Adam. The person's bricks of his own home will say testimony about him. Because he's Beisah Shel Adam, and the pillars of his house, Me'idim Bo, will say testimony about him. Shnemak says, the pasuk in Chavakuk, Ki Even Mikir Tizak, because the stone from the wall will scream out, the kufis and the half a brick, which it was normative in their days to put the half a brick between the rows of the wood, Mi Eitzianena will call out from the wood, again, that is the bricks of his own house, will say testimony about him, what he has done. The Be'er Shila Amri, they say, Shnei Malachi Ashas HaMalavnoi La'odim Heim Eidin Alav. The two ministering angels that escort the person, they will say testimony about him, that he did not join together with the pain of the tzibur. Something like it says, the pasuk in Tehillim, Ki Malachi B'tzav Alach, because Hashem has commanded for you His angels, that means two, one right, one left, they are there and they'll say testimony. Reb Chidka Amar, he says, Nishmasei shel adam hi me'id alav. The person's own soul will say testimony about him. Shlomo says the pasuk in Micha, Mishecheves chekecha, from that which lays in your bosom, that is right inside your chest, Shmoi pischei picha, you should safeguard the opening of your mouth, because whatever you say, your neshama is hearing and will say testimony about you. Yeshemen, those that say, Eivarv shall adam eidim boy, the person's own limbs will say testimony about what he has done. Hashem, like it says, the pasuk in Yeshaya, Atem eidai. Now Hashem is talking to the people, but it's saying in the plural, you are my witnesses. No, Hashem, Hashem says, which means, because all the limbs are the witnesses. Now the Gemara continues by quoting a pasuk in Devarim that says, Kelemuna, the God of faithfulness, Ve'ein avon, there's no perversion with our God. Now the Gemara explains, Kelemuna, the God of faithfulness, means, what does it mean that he's faithful? That is, there's MS, that is Emuna. K'shem sh'nefraim in Hashem lo'il ma'ba, just like Hashem will punish the wicked in the world to come, afila alavera kala sh'aisin, even for the smallest infraction, avera that they do, kach nefraim, and that's tzadikim bo'il ma'zeh, that's the Emuna part, that's so too that he punishes the righteous in this world, alavera kala sh'aisin, even for the smallest infraction that they do. Now when the pasuk says, ve'ein oval, ein oval, and there's no perversion, is the same thing, K'shem Shemeshalm Schar LaTzadikim Lo'ilam Haba, just like Hashem will reward the righteous in the world to come, Afila Mitzvah Kalashayisen, even for the smallest mitzvah that they do, Kach Meshalm Schar L'Rishon Bo'ilam Hazeh, so too he pays the wicked people in this world, Afila Mitzvah Kalashayisen, even in the smallest mitzvah that they do. And the reason why he does that is that he should totally chase them away from the world to come, as the pasuk says in Devarim Zayin, Meshalm L'Sayin Nevel Panav, he pays the wicked to give them their reward in this world, lahavidai, to get rid of them, that they won't have any share in the world to come. Now that's what it means when it says ve'in oval, that he doesn't do anything without emes and tzedek, which is totally righteous. There's no double standard with Hashem. Now that's what the pasuk concludes over there, that says tzedek v'yashahu. Hashem is righteous and upstanding, which means to say that tzedek is a reference that he's matzik the din, even on the righteous, to punish them in this world. And he does goodness and yashrus, which is Yashur, upstanding with the wicked, to pay all their rewards in this world, so that again, to chase them out, that they won't have any share in the world to come. Related to this discussion, the Gemara says, Amudei said, Bishas p'tirasei shel odom l'beis olam, at the time when a person leaves this world to his eternal world, kol masav niftar l'fanav, all his actions pass by in front of him. V'amulei, and they tell him, kach v'kach asisa, this is what you did, b'makom pleni, in this place, b'yom pleni, on that day, v'hoimahen, and he says, yes, he admits to it. V'amulei, and they tell him, that's not enough, chasayim, sign, v'chasim, and he signs. Something like it says, a pasuk in Eiv, b'yad kol odom yachtem, in the hand of every single person it was signed, that is, it was written everything that they had done, but then every single person goes and signs exactly that he admits to that. Not only that he signs, that he justifies the laws that are being taking effect now regarding what he had done. He even says to them, you have judged me well. To fulfill what it says in the pasuk in Tehillim, "Lama titzdak b'davrecha," that they justify your words. That means they're matzdik alei masadin, that whatever you have showed them, that look, this is what this is deserving. They admit to it, and you're right, it is deserving. Now the Gemara resumes the discussion of this parak regarding the halachas of a tainus of fasting. Amar Shmuel, kol yeshiv b'tainus, ever sits and fasts, nikra chayit, is called a sinner. Now the reason for that is because Savaki Haitana, he held like the following Tana. The Tana Glenda Brysa. And Rabbi Elazar Kappa Berebi Omer says, Matam Lemma, what does it mean the pasuk in Bamidbar that says, V'chipro love, and it will be atoned for him, Mashachata ala nefesh, that which he has sinned regarding the soul. Now the question is, this is talking about the Nazir, the one who says that he's not going to drink wine for a certain amount of days, and there are certain halachas that come with that. Now, V'chibi Ezen Nefesh Chatazen, now regarding which soul did the Nazir sin? What did he do wrong? Elo shetzir atzmi min hayayin, because he pained himself by withholding from wine. Now that applies the following thought. If the nazir who only withheld from himself and pained himself that he will not partake from wine, and he's called a sinner because he's not enjoying Hashem's bounty, if someone pains himself and removes himself from all food, which means say that he fasts for a whole day, all the more so that he's called a sinner. However, he argues, he says, no, actually, nikur kaddish, someone that fasts is called holy. Like it says the pasuk in Bamidbar, kaddish ye. This is in reference to the, in the context of the nazir, that he will be holy. Gadil peres aresha, that he should grow his hair long. Now, and therefore, the kavachem actually works in the other direction. Regarding the nazir who only holds himself back from one thing, from wine, nikur kaddish, and yet he's already called holy because he's separating from the physical, from the mundane. Hamitzar atzmei called davar. If someone then goes ahead and holds back from all food and drink, alav is coming become all the more so that he's called holy. Now, but then the Gemara asks each opinion, what do they do with the other sources? Well, the Shmuel ha ikur kaddish. But what does Shmuel do that he said that he called a sinner when you have a pasuk that says kaddish that he's called holy? Now the Gemara says, "Ahu agidul perakai." That's actually going regarding the growing of the hair. That is, his hair is forbidden to have enough from it, which that's the term of kedusha, that's separated. You can't have enough from it. But the person himself, he's not called holy. He's actually called a sinner for not enjoying Hashem's bounty. Now the Gemara says, "Rabbi Elazar ha-nikur chayti." How could you call him kaddish when the pasuk says that he's a sinner? Now the Gemara says he's not a sinner for not partaking from the wine. "Ahu desoiv nafshe." That's because, as the Targum translate when it says Ashachata ala nefesh, that he has sinned regarding the soul, it translates that because he went and defiled himself, he became tummy from a corpse, that's why he has to go ahead and bring a carbon to atone for himself. But the actual resisting and not having enjoyment from the wine, that's not considered a sin. Actually, that's kadusha that makes him holy, and all the more so someone that fasts. Now, on that, the Gemara asks, is it really true that Rabbi Elazar said that Rebbe fasts? It's called Kaddish. It's a good thing. You consider holy. But Rabbi Elazar had said, La'ilam yomad ad adam asma. A person should always assess himself. And we continue on Talmud Beis, Ki'ilu Kaddish shar b'teich meyav, as if there's holiness that's resting inside his intestines. What that means is as if his intestines are holiness, which means to say that you can't weaken them. It's a holy thing. Shem, like it says, a pasuk in Hosea, "Bekir b'cho kaddish," that inside of you is holy, which it sounds like is that to the contrary, that you're not allowed to fast because your intestines are holiness. It's not mundane things that are bad. Where the pasuk there concludes and says, "V'li ove be'ir," and I will not come into this city. which the Gemara here is expounding the first part of the pasuk, which, as we explained, Bekir B'Chakadosh, it's defining it as if one's inside is holy. But the literal translation of that pasuk is that because the holiness is in pain, meaning to say that Yerushalayim Shalmata is B'Churbana, is destroyed, so Hashem will not come into his city, Yerushalayim Shalmala, until that's done. But this is an illusion that we're just defining the pasuk Bekir B'Chakadosh. But one thing that we do see is that Rav Elazar holds that it's a bad thing to fast because you're making your intestines, which are holy, weaker. So is it a good thing that you're Kaddish, or is it a bad thing? I think Rav says, Loi Kashra, it's not a contradiction. Ha d'matzi l'tzuri nafshei. The one that a person could withstand a fast, he can hold through that type of pain. That type of person, HaKadosh Baruch Hu praises him, and that person is called Kaddish. However, ha d'matzi l'tzuri nafshei, here where we're saying that it's holy and you should not weaken it, that's regarding someone that can't fast well, and he does, so he weakens his state, that type of person would be called a chait, would be called a sinner. Rish Lakish, he continues regarding defining the one who fasts, as we had set up until now, either you're called a sinner or you're holy. He says, Nikra chassid, you're called a pious person. Something like it says, the pasuk in Mishlei, it says, Goymul nafshay, with the word goymul, kurosu means to wean, someone that weans his soul, meaning he separates himself from food and drink, ish chassid, so he's a pious person. But v'eicher she'eru, someone that destroys his flesh, meaning if someone that fasts and he weakens himself, then he's called v'goymeh, as the pasuk concludes, the achzari, then he's someone that has no mercy on himself. So therefore that's the same discrepancy, that if a person could fast well, then it's actually a chassid, but if not, then the person's an achzar. Continuing on this theme, the Gemara says, Rav Sheshes, he says, Hai bar be rav, diyasa betanisa. Regarding a Talmudic scholar that fasts, Lechel kabel l'sherusa, let a dog eat his food. Now what that means is, as if, that his fasting is not helping him. It's as if the person is only fasting because he didn't have food because the dog ate up his food. What essentially it means to say that a Talmud Chacham should not be fasting, as Gemara will shortly explain. He says, Ein tainus tirbe b'bavel. He says, there's no public fast in Bavel. What that means is that he's talking about regarding the stringent type of fast, which they accustomed themselves like type of mourning in that, where they would stop eating from already daytime, like it is by Tisha B'Av and Yom Kippurim, and they wouldn't wear shoes. But in Bavel, they didn't have that. Elo Tisha B'Av, the one day they had those type of fasts were on Tisha B'Av. So although there were other fasts, but they didn't have these type of stringent fasts that you had to stop eating from before nighttime and that you couldn't wear shoes. Now, I'm Rabbi Yirmiyahu Abba, I'm Rish Lakish. As we just mentioned before, in Talmud Chacham Rishoy Leisha B'Tainas, Talmudic scholar is not permitted to sit and fast. And the reason is, because he's diminishing the work of heaven, and that is because he's weak, he can't learn well, and therefore it's more important for him to be learning than to fasting and not being able to function as well in his Torah learning. Now the Mishnah had said that, although there were these fasts of Bahab, that they were fasted, that the rain wasn't coming yet, but they were able to eat and drink even when they got nighttime, it would only start in the morning. Amrav Ze'eru Amrav Huna, he says, Yachet Shekibul of Tainas, regarding an individual that accepted upon himself a fast, and this is related to what we had been discussing in the Mishnah, that the Yechidim, they would be the individuals who would start off fasting first before the Tzibur did. So he says in general, regarding an individual that accepts upon himself a fast from the day before, and he says, tomorrow I'm going to fast, then Afila Achal V'Shasek HaLaila, even if he eats and drinks the entire night, up until Amud HaShacham, until the break of dawn, L'machu Mispal Tfilas Tainas, the following day, he could say the tefillah that you do on the Tainus, which is on Neinu, as we explained in the Mishnah, that regarding a tefillah of a Yachid, which is, in contrast to, let's say, Tisha B'Av or Yom Kippurim, you're allowed to eat the whole entire night up until the morning. And therefore, you could say the tefillah of a Neinu the first thing in the morning. However, the contrast to that is, Lon B'Tanisai, if a person slept over his fast, meaning to say that regarding the fast that he accepted the day before, and he fasted that whole entire day, now, Matzah Tainus, after the fast was over, he didn't eat. Rather, he went to sleep that night, still fasting up until the morning. On that, we're saying that Einam is Baal Shal Tainus. There, you cannot say the Tefillah of a Tainus of Anenu, even though you didn't even eat yet, to as if say that you're fulfilling the fasting of the nighttime, because although it's still part of that day, because the nighttime is the beginning of the day of Ahir, Ve'ivoki, Yom Echad, which the Gemara shortly will explain, what's the reason, Rav Huna, why can't you say Anenu if you're still fasting? You went through a whole fast, and now you're fasting all the way to the morning, you should be able to continue with your Anenu. Which the Gemara discusses right now. I'm Rav Yosef. Mike says, Rav Huna, what does Rav Huna hold? What's the reason why he says, which is an interesting contrast, where even though you ate the whole night before, but the next day, since you had accepted before, then you could say Anenu, but even if you fasted the whole night, then the following morning, you cannot go, and which was a continuation of the previous fast, you cannot say Aneinu in the morning. So the Gemara asks, what's the reason of Rav Huna? Is it that Svirulei that he holds Ein Mis'ano L'Shois, that you can't make a Tainus, a fast, to then say Aneinu on that, for just a couple of hours? In other words, this that he says that the following morning you can't say the Tefillah of a Tainus, then that means to say you can't say Aneinu, is because this accepting of a fast that you did is not considered a Kabbalah's Tainus, and therefore it's not a Tainus at all. And therefore, if you actually want to eat in the middle of that Tainus, if it's for a couple of hours, then you're allowed to, because there is no such a thing as having a Tainus for just a couple of hours. So the same thing is here in this type of case. This person was not makabel a Tainus of a fast for this night from the day before. Rather, it's like we learned, it was Lon B'Tanisa, which sounds like that. He just continued, and that is, he really was going to eat in the evening, but he didn't eat, and therefore, though he had in mind to eat an hour or two after the fast was over, he changed his mind and says, you know what, I'm not going to eat yet, I'm going to continue, and he went to sleep still in this tainus. So is that the reason why you cannot say Aneinu in the morning? Because that fast of a couple of hours is not considered, doesn't have a shame tainus to say Aneinu on it? Or maybe, this what Rav Huna says, that the next morning you can't say Tefillah of Tainus, is not because there's no shame, there's no designation of a Tainus for a couple of hours. Actually, maybe Mis'an L'Shois, maybe there would have a designation of a name of a Tainus on it, of a fast, even if it is just for a couple of hours. And therefore, if let's say in the middle of those hours, you wanted to change your mind and go ahead and eat in the middle of that Tainus, you're not allowed to. Now, but then the reason why he says that you're not allowed to say Aneinu in the morning is because he holds V'amis'ana l'shoyis, because although it is a tainus, but if it's a fast for just a couple of hours, Ein mispel tefillah tainus, you cannot then say the tefillah of a tainus of Aneinu, because since it's just for a couple of hours and not choshev enough to have the tefillah of Aneinu in it. So although yes, it's a tainus and you can't eat, because it has a chaloy shem tainus, has the designation of the name of a fast, but it's not significant enough to require Aneinu. So what was his reason? Was it that it's not a fast? Or even though it's a fast, but it's not enough of a significant fast to be able to say Aneinu on it? So I'm only Abaye actually says a third version. He says, L'oilam k'sav Rav Huna, really Rav Huna holds that in general, mis'anan l'shois. You could fast for a couple of hours, meaning we'll have a designation of a fast. Moreover, v'amis'an l'shois mis'bal tefillas tainus. If you're fasting for a couple of hours, and during that time is when you're davening, you could even say Aneinu. Now, Bashani Hach, however, here it's different that he says you cannot go ahead and say the tefillah of a tainus of Aneinu is because the ikar shoyis delelya, because there's the hours of the evening. In other words, this that he had fasted the day before and during the nighttime he had fasted, delay kabbal alam mikar, because he had not accepted upon himself specifically a new fast for the hours of the evening. He just really was going to eat, and at the last second he changed his mind, he decided not to eat. That's not significant enough to say Aneinu for it, because although it is a tainus, and although it's a tainus, the choice that you could say Aneinu, but that's only if you're makabel on yourself that type of tainus. Here, the person just fasted the day, and he's like, you know, I forget about eating, I'm too tired, whatever, and just went to sleep. That extra tainus of the following night, which is not a continuation of the previous day, it's a new day, it's not significant enough because there wasn't a Kabbalah to accept that, and that's why you don't say Aneinu. Now, the Gemara brings a story related to this halacha that we just mentioned. Marukva iklu leginzik. He went to Ginzik, and Boyimne, they asked from him the following question: Mis'anin l'shois, can you fast for a couple of hours? In other words, will that have a designation of a shame tainus? Or maybe you cannot fast for a couple of hours. I mean, you cannot eat, but it won't give you the kapara. It won't have the significance of what's called a tainus. So lahav biyada, he didn't have the answer. They asked him another question: Kankanen, the jugs of earthenware that people put in wine to keep it in there. Shal Nachrim, if it's from non-Jews, which has a problem of Yayin Nesach, Asurin, are those jugs forbidden to use? Aymutarin, or are they permitted to use? Lahabiyadi, again, he didn't have the answer. A third question they asked him. B'mashi mishmeisha kol shevis imei amalum. With what type of clothing did Moshe Rabbeinu go ahead and do the avayda in the Mishkan? All the, what's called the shevis imei amalum, the 7 days of inauguration, which then the 8th day was the first day of when the Kohanim started, which was Rosh Chodesh Nisan, the 7 days before, with the Shavuos Me'amelum, when Moshe Rabbeinu did the Avodah, what garments was he wearing? And that is because, regarding Aaron, it says that he was wearing the Bigdei Kohuna. As it says, V'lbashta, that at the time when Moshe Rabbeinu was doing the Avodah, Aaron was wearing the Bigdei Kohuna. Now, the Avodah Moshe Rabbeinu did was Gzeiras HaKasav, that it was a one-time thing. Now, we don't find that he was wearing the Bigdei Kohuna. However, it also makes sense to say that he wasn't just wearing his weekday clothing that he was wearing in the street. So what was it that he wore when he was doing the Avodah then? Again, he didn't have the answer for that either. So Azal v'shol b'medrash, he came to the base medrash and they asked him the questions. Amrulay, they answered for him all the three questions. First of all, hilchas halacha is mis'an l'shoyis. You can fast for a couple of hours. It has the same tainus. U'misbal tefillas tainus. And you could even daven the tefillah tainus. You could say aneinu. But however, it's like Abaye had said regarding that of sleeping overnight is because there was no kabbalah for it. The hilchas halacha is also kankana shel nachum regarding the jugs of the non-Jews. La'achar shnayim asar chedesh. After 12 months, then the taste of the yayin nesach, which is the forbidden wine of the non-Jews, it loses that taste. And therefore, mutarim, therefore the jugs are permitted just as they are without having to leave water in them. Now, that's, however, in contrast to, let's say, within 12 months from when it was last used by the non-Jew, then you would have to have it soaking, you'd have to pour in water for three different days for a period of 24 hours. That would be the way of making it permitted to use. But after 12 months, it's permitted as it is. And regarding the third question, what was it that Moshe Rabbeinu had used during the Shabbos Yom HaMiluim? B'chalak lavan, that was with a white garment made out of linen that was designated especially for these Shabbos Yom HaMiluim. Now, Rav Kahane Masne, he learned it in a different version. B'chalak lavan, yes, it was with a white frock, she'en le'imr, but specifically it didn't have a hem. Now, the reason why it didn't have a hem, and it was specific enough to have to mention that, is that the people shouldn't suspect him. That is, maybe that with that hem, he was taking out the money of Hekdesh because they had just given all their things that to build the Mishkan, and maybe he's smuggling things out with his garment, although he's not holding anything, but he's putting in his hem. And that's because, as the Pasuk says, Mamid Balamid Beis, V'yisin Nikim Hashem Yisrael, a person is obligated to make himself clean in front of the eyes of Hashem, but also in front of the eyes of Jewish people. People shouldn't suspect him, and therefore you should do whatever is necessary that you should be beyond suspicion. And therefore, yes, it was a Chalak Lavan, it was a white garment, but more than that, it was with one that didn't have a hem so that no one should suspect him of smuggling out items from the Mishkan.